Design for X is not the design for the X factor or for the excitement or anything like that. It's designed for that alphabet soup of all the different considerations that go into creating a viable product for the market. Design for reliability is just one of the many elements of a design process. And we have to compete with design for the environment, design for quality, design for recyclability, design for the environment, and design for assembly is a big one, design for manufacturing, on and on and on. There's the design teams, the people making decisions of what is and isn't part of the product, and how is it actually what are the elements that go into providing the functions that it's supposed to have, is not a simple task. There's many different trade-offs and many different considerations. At one point in my career, I worked as a design for manufacturing engineer. I always joke that nobody at the design group liked to having me around because they said, you can't do that because we can't manufacture it. And then on the other hand, at manufacturing, they said, they didn't like me around because we can't build that. That's impossible. And I was trying to bring designs that were new or novel into our manufacturing facility. I found very quickly that it was finding the balance. What's the when to push back and when to go with either the design or the manufacturing preferences? When do we need to alter the design or change the manufacturing process? But it also taught me that there's many other elements that are part of the design process and things that are considered. Now, one tool is the quality functional deployment, the house of quality. And it's a basic tool that allows us to understand all of the different interacting pieces that go into a design with a focus on which ones are important to customers. And so see if I can get my pen to work. And this is a template I pulled off of a site, and I'm going to make a note to add the link to where I found this template because it's freely available for you to use. And it actually seems to be a pretty nice Excel template to put all this information together for you. But the section A here is the customer's requirements. So if you went and asked 10 or 20 customers, what is it they want from your product? This would be easy to use, lightweight, low cost, high speed, whatever is on their mind and something that they would use to judge whether they would buy it or not. And then prioritize those. What's the most significant one and what's the weighting, and that goes into this column, is kind of rank order these things or give them a weighted value as to how important these different criteria are. And it's one way to get a sense of what your customer really wants from this particular product. Now, your marketing group or other parts of your organization may have already done this, and it'd be a matter of just gathering it and understanding it. But then, as you lay out your design specifications and what is it that makes it lightweight, and so that would go up here as these design features or quality characteristics is another way we're thinking of them. But it's basically what's the functional requirements. So we may want to say, well, what's the weight? And it's usually something that we can measure, because at the lower part of this chart is then, well, what weight are we defining as low weight? Maybe it's from human factors tables that lists, well, what's considered light to most humans for the target audience you're dealing with. If they consider a 1 pound to be lightweight and easily portable, or is that too heavy? Laptops ran into this, where if it went over about 12 pounds, it was considered a luggable, not a portable. And so we may put in weight here and less than 1 pound, for example, in order to meet the lightweight criteria. And then we would put in an interaction term. Well, how strong are these correlated? So if we meet this requirement, will we meet the customer's expectation? So some things are directly related. Weight, for example, is directly related to a customer's requirement for having a lightweight product. We may have another criteria that is important for some other aspect of the customer's, say, durability. And so we use a metal enclosure rather than a plastic enclosure. Well, the metal may be slightly heavier than the other options that are less durable. So it won't have as much of a correlation or a relationship to the customer's requirement. So we rate that a little bit lower. So this part of the matrix then fills out, well, which of these product specifications, functional elements of our product, and their specific measurable characteristic that we're aiming for in the design correspond back to the customer's requirements. And that's really the heart of the QFD, is that it allows us to relate what customers want to our design specifications. And then we have specific targets, we have the relationships, and we can sort out with a little bit of thought, well, are we meeting the most important requirements for the customer if we achieve our design specifications? Now, part of the trade-offs in this design for X kind of concept is this top of the roof part of the house of quality, which relates these different requirements. So some things are going to be reinforcing. We might be lightweight and we use a desire to have a metal finish. Those might be contrary, depending on what metal we use, or they may be reinforcing. We can achieve a lighter weight, maybe smaller enclosure using milled aluminum than if we had to use plastic to achieve the same enclosure. Other things, I'll just keep it at that, is one relationship. But instead of drawing lines there, is that we would have a specific code, say a triangle or a circle or whatever, to indicate the degree of interaction of these different design parts of it. So one more area, and these QFDs can have many different, they call them rooms. So there is the roof, and there's these different signal areas are rooms of the house of quality. One of the rooms can be, well, how do your competitors' products stack up meeting the customer's requirements? Now, some products might meet certain customer requirements better or worse than other competitors or your product itself. But if you can find a place where your competitors are not meeting the most important aspects of what your customers want, you may find a unique niche, then reinforce those design elements that make sure that you are perceived by your customers as meeting their most pressing needs. Other ways is to look for what are your competitors focusing on, and it helps you to understand the weighting of the customer's expectations and requirements. And so it can be used many different ways. It's a viable document. It does take some work to put together, but it does provide you quite a bit of information that allows you to balance, is recyclability or assembly, if considering the operations and manufacturing teams as one of your customers, or environmentally friendly, easy to use, lightweight. What are those aspects of what your customers want, and how are you going to actually achieve it? And so design for the customer is really what all of this design for X is really getting at. Now, having said that, well, let me not get ahead of myself. Let's go to the next slide. One of the next steps in the QFD process is that I take those customer attributes and convert them into or translate them into the engineering characteristics, the engineering parameters, the specifications that we want to design to. But then I evaluate those engineering specifications into the parts and subsystems of the model. So if I want lightweight, and I need to buy a power supply, what's the weight on the power supply, for example? But then I take those components and parts, subsystems, and so on, and then understand what's critical in the manufacturing process of those. And or in the process or for building these or assembling these, looking at those operations, what are the production equipment settings that are critical? Now, I've only seen this done once where it went all the way down to the manufacturing floor equipment, but it was very effective because the settings that we had here were directly tied to customer requirements. It wasn't always obvious, but once we knew the path and the documentation, we could see the connection. And it allowed us to focus on things that were truly important to the final product arbiter, the customer. So DFX is not just QFD. That's a tool to help us understand what's important of all the many different competing priorities that our customers will place on us. And part of the issue is that different subgroups within that your customer base may have different priorities. Now, in general, we need to work that through in the design process as to what are the key priorities that we want to work with. But then at some point, us as reliability professionals are going to be asked for, well, how do we meet the reliability requirements? Well, we may have a set of tools and techniques and stuff that we personally know about or have learned about and will apply. But in order to be effective, we generally need to have some design guidelines or some set of tools that allows other people in the organization, specifically the design team, to make good decisions on their own. And so having design for reliability courses and guidelines and how to do component derating and stress strength calculations, for example, or understanding goals and apportionment and setting specifications for your vendors. Those can be parts of internal guideline documents that you can use. Tools to assess, say, if you have a physics of failure model based on your application and equipment or the unique elements that you manufacture, it would allow the design team to understand where the limitations are and the margins are. Process control and process capability comes into play here, is for design for manufacture, design for assembly. And those can be incorporated into design guidelines or analysis tools using the live data from your manufacturing process. So part of the DFX process, and especially for design for reliability, is a part education, part setting up boundaries and guidelines, but also allowing people to make trade-off decisions, informed decisions for these trade-offs. Now, I mentioned that DFX can have many different focuses, but some of it is, you know, design for reliability, design for assembly, design for aesthetics, design for packaging, time to market. Depending on your product, you may have one or more of these things as being your dominant focus. If you're a consumer market for the holiday season, time to market. Let's do what we can to get the design done on time. And that's the key focus. Whereas other organizations are designed for quality. Let's make this as a high quality and a product as we can. And bar no expense to get the quality aspects of the product right. Specifically meet the high quality demands of the customers. And so on. QFD helps with any of these things to help you interpret them into design specifications and so on. But there's lots of tools and techniques under each one of these things that allows us then to, in some regard, influence it through the reliability world, but also support and understand how all of those different constraints that are being placed on and expectations that are being placed on designers. One area that, I guess because I'm from California, I'll mention is this increasing need for design for the environment. And it includes basic, simple things that we try to make products that are reliable, that don't need to be thrown away and replaced on a regular basis. But if it is thrown away, there's more and more legislation saying that it has to be recyclable or biodegradable or reusable in some form or fashion. That places constraints on what kind of materials you can use or what kind of assembly processes you can use, which then impact the reliability of the product. So if I'm not able to use a certain fastening system, say a glue, give me a permanent bond, but I need to use fasteners, well, will the fasteners hold up with the vibration in our application? It's a reliability concern. So any of these DFX elements can place a enhancement on reliability or a possible degradation. So we're going to get involved with many of these different elements, and understanding the driving forces for those and how they help meet customer requirements can help us create an appropriate balance to help the design team make a good product. So is it possible to address all of the Design for X items? Well, I don't know. I think there's spaces where we can optimize for cost, but we're going to give up reliability. Or we can optimize for quality, but give up on cost. And where's the right balance to meet all of those things? It may or may not actually be possible. Well, that's where we make decisions. And to the better extent we make those decisions in a coherent and very clear way, understanding the trade-offs, the better. Next section, we're going to take a look at apportionment. I think I've mentioned it a few times. It's where we break down the reliability goal to the various subsystems and components of your product.